Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears off and running with you Thursday, February 25th, 2021. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. And many may have noticed that last week we did not have one of our regular guests on, the Queen of Helpful Hints, Heloise. Usually joins us every third Thursday of the month from 9 until 10 o'clock. Last week, she was not on. Now, as many of you people, many of you listeners know, Heloise is in Texas. And Texas has been experiencing some very interesting weather, which led to a postponement of a week. But because she braves anything, she is here with us this week. Legendary columnist, best-selling author, good friend of this program, the undisputed Queen of Helpful Hints, and in an area right now where snow doesn't normally happen, Texas, Heloise. How are you, Heloise?
Good morning. I'm looking outside. It's a little sunny here, so I'll send some sun your way. And you are so right. You know, I live in South Texas, San Antonio. Okay, and it usually does not, it may freeze. We call it a light freeze. It may go below freezing for a little bit and then come back up. But we've had such unusual winter weather for us. When we say a hard freeze, I mean it freezes and it stays. And there have been, my husband is a retired plumbing, heating, and air conditioning contractor. And when I was watching the news, he looked at me and I looked at him and he said, "Oh, I'm so glad I'm not in the business anymore."
You know, this month, even here in the Midwest, and not that we have not had blizzards and heavy snowfalls, but for the last 5 or 6 years, it really has not been bad. And February 1st came in and we got... I think over the course of this month, the 28 days of February, we've gotten something like 25 inches of snow.
Oh, my God.
And the temperature did not get, I don't know how many days the temperature actually got above freezing, but it was not very many. But now we are above 50. So, you know, the month is going out a little better than it came in.
And when you're used to that, you live up there, you know the weather, you listen to the weather reports, and you say, okay, it's going to be below freezing for several days. You know, let's check the plumbing, let's check the pipes. You know, do we have any animals outside that we need to protect or bring inside or something like that? But when you live here, we're not used to it. We're not prepared for it. And it's a whole different mindset. And so once you get into that mindset, and when they, years and years ago, we had a really, I mean, it was like once in every century or two, you know, and they said, okay, it's going to be this, and people were literally running, driving, walking to the grocery store. Guess what the two things they were buying, the three things they were buying the most of?
Now, I'm going to guess bread and milk.
No.
No.
Canned goods.
See, that's what I think people should do.
Yes.
But even here in the Midwest, and I think we've talked about this, every time there's a snowstorm, and I got to see it, I think, three times this month, when there's the threat of a snowstorm, people go and here they buy bread and milk. And I do not understand it because those things spoil.
Exactly. Yeah, if you're, and the other thing too is if your power goes out, if your electricity goes out, the most important thing to do is close the refrigerator door, put a piece of duct tape on it. You only open it when it's necessary. Open it, take the things out you need, and close the door. Things within that refrigerator or even the freezer will keep for a good 2 to 3 days as long as you don't keep opening and letting the warm air in. So think in terms of food staple, powdered milk. You can always make milk. You've got water with powdered milk. You can make cream. In fact, I used to, I still do when I'm watching my weight. What girl doesn't watch her weight? But anyway, is I take powdered milk, and I take about a third of a cup of powdered milk and put in maybe a half to a third a cup of water and stir it up with a fork till it's real thick, and then I have cream, if you will, for my coffee or tea without the calories and all the fat. But powdered milk, canned goods, will stay on your shelf in your refrigerator for a long time, and you should always have a backup anyway. And then, Scott, I know it's early in the morning, we've just started the show, but guess what the other thing that they run out of is?
What's that?
Toilet paper.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Well, you know,
That's important.
Well, it is important, but, you know, why do people need, they mass buy, and this causes some people not to be able to get it.
Exactly.
And then it also causes trouble because the store is not expecting to need that much toilet paper.
Right.
And I don't understand, you know, that's a weird, I think there's something psychological in that. I mean, who needs more than 6 rolls of toilet paper for a storm?
Well, now, wait a minute. I disagree.
Uh-oh. We'll get into it right here.
Well, I disagree in that if you have a lot of people in your house, okay, the bathroom is going to be used a lot. If you're going to be sequestered or frozen in, it's going to be used a lot. So toilet paper in my world is a necessity. But toilet paper can also be used as if you're out of facial tissues. Kleenex, you can use it that way. Women, I use it to take my makeup off, and then I can just flush it rather than throw it in the garbage and have to empty the garbage.
You know, this sounds like a silly question, but you know, this is stuff people really want to know. And this is stuff that I think about. Okay, let's say you go to the store, and I think they sell the toilet paper by the 6-roll
right.
You know, package. Okay, you buy one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you have 6 people in your house, which that's a lot these days. We're not in the baby boom generation anymore. Let's say you have 6 people living in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say you're going to be sequestered for a week, which is, that's a long time nowadays. People get out. People will shovel themselves out and do whatever they got to
right.
do. Okay, in 7 days, is one person going to go through a whole roll of toilet paper?
It depends on their gender.
Wait, that was a halt right there. That was a dead stop. There was
gotcha.
A period there.
It depends on their gender.
When men
urinate, they don't have to use a lot of toilet paper. When women do, we're sitting down.
Well, that's true. And I'm not... women definitely use more toilet paper than men. But a roll in a week?
Well, you know, unless somebody's really sick kind of thing. But again, that's the other thing, that if you run out of it, if you run out of toilet paper, you have to be very careful of what you use as a substitute until you can get back to the store. Remember, my husband is a retired heating, plumbing, and AC contractor. He built our house. And when he was working with his father, later he would say, we'd be talking about, I'd ask him something about, well, what's the difference between toilet paper and facial tissue? Because I would use a lot of facial tissue to take my makeup off. It's a little bit more sturdy. It's a little bit stronger. And he's the one who taught me. And he said, you know, facial tissue is different than toilet paper. Pull one or two off. Feel it. Some of the facial tissues we use now have a moisturizer in them. So they may not go all the way down the plumbing. And if, as we are here where I live, where we live in San Antonio, we're out in the semi-country. When we moved out here, it was really, you're going to live all the way out there. And now San Antonio has grown around it. But we have septic systems. And if the septic system gets clogged up from too much facial tissue, and people do flush other things. The only things that you should flush down the commode are what come out of your body or toilet paper. That's it.
Oh, and I agree, and I think this causes plumbers a lot of trouble, but I also think what we're talking about here is not your everyday normal life. We're talking about being in a horrible situation.
Yes.
And there are things in your house that certainly you can substitute for toilet paper in a pinch.
In a pinch, yes.
And this is why I don't know if that's a control thing in people's mind to buy all the toilet paper.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's got to be something working in their brain psychologically.
You know, I'm not sure. Maybe it's something that people don't talk about a lot. You know, unless you were a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout or a Bluebird or something. People, or you have lived through that before. Because you are right. When, you know, I've lived in San Antonio for more than, oh my gosh, 40 years. And almost 50. And when we first moved down here, because I lived in Arlington, Virginia, right across the Pentagon, and when they would say, you know, the weather for the next 5 days is going to be below freezing, people would rush to the stores and buy toilet paper, paper towels, milk, and bottled water, and a carton of eggs. Well, bottle of water you need in case the pipes break, which does happen. You don't have something to drink. Paper towels. You can clean things up with paper towels and dispose of them rather than running the water that you want to do. Powdered milk. You can make fresh milk out of it. You can, in fact, I do. I make what I call my no-fat cream for my coffee or tea by just sprinkling one or two teaspoons of powdered milk in it. So there are things that you can do without that you may have another substitute that for the short term will work, and it's the right thing to do.
Now, I have an interesting subject here, I think, and I don't think we've talked about this, but this has been a long-term subject around the radio station, and I think it's come to blows with callers. So this is, you can help settle something here. Now, we all know that there is a place in California called Carmel, California. Now,
I've been there.
Yeah, absolutely. Carmel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Carmel in Indianapolis.
Carmel.
Like
candy.
Well, see, now here's the question. This is where it has nothing to do with directions, but I'm getting to the point of this candy issue.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you go into a store, you tend to say, I want caramel apples, I want caramel corn. That's what you say. But it is spelled Carmel, which would be caramel. And we have heard of caramel. So are we just mispronouncing the word?
Boy, you're asking the wrong person here.
Isn't that just fascinates me.
You know, it is. And I think part of it is it depends on where you're from and where you learned to say that word. Okay, I live in San Antonio. Some people call it San Antone. They don't say San Antonio. So I think it depends on however the person pronounces it, or maybe how it's pronounced in that region, or how they grew up pronouncing it.
Well, and I think we know what people mean. I just this is something else I learned recently. I had, and of course in the times we live in, it was not a big get-together. It was a small get-together last night. And somebody showed up unexpectedly that I did not expect to show up.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Now, and it didn't turn out bad, but as there had been food cooked in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And the person came in and said, boy, it smells good in here. Now, is sometimes just the smell of cooked food enough in a house to make people, you know, oh, boy, it smells good in here when you're coming in from the outside?
I think it can. I think, you know, the scientists tell us, you know, the senses that we have, you know, we see a chocolate cake. Your brain sees that picture of a chocolate cake. You go, hmm. You may hear a siren go off, an ambulance or a police car, and you hear that sound, and your brain tells you, oh, that's not good. Somebody's going to the hospital or something like that. So that your sense of smell is even stronger in the sense is that if you close your eyes and someone waves a piece of chocolate cake under your nose and you can smell it, you know it's chocolate. So when you walk into someone's home, particularly in winter, and where it's cold outside and when it's freezing, you really don't smell much outside unless the wind is really blowing. So when you walk in, you smell that food. It smells like, oh, it makes me think of my grandmother's. Or somebody's baking. Oh, you know, and my grandmother did. She made great apple pies. It takes me right back there. And that's one of the reasons we have scented candles. You can totally change the mood of a party by the type of scented candles you have. If somebody walks in and they smell, let's think of a terrible, oh, say someone had a septic system candle. You walk in the house and go, doesn't really smell that good in here. Doesn't really smell that inviting, does it? So, but if you walk in and you smell, you know, apple cider. See, apple cider during the winter, doesn't that just make you think, oh, that would taste good, it makes me feel warm? So those scents are very, very powerful. And, you know, they go right to your nose. You can smell it. Goes to your brain. So I think setting the ambiance, as I like to say, with sight, what is the first thing you see? Do you see some pretty flowers? Do you see the dessert table has all the candy out or something like that? You know, sound. Do you hear the music of whatever, it's Valentine's Day, and there's soft songs and things. It's Christmas, there are Christmas carols, things like that. Do you hear that? So that sets your mind, oh, we're going to have a nice time. It smells so good in here. Oh, I like that music. And this cookie tastes really good. So set the tone of what you want to portray. And generally, it works very good.
Now, can this backfire? For instance, let's say you want to set the mood, so you go out and you get a candle or some kind of, you know, aerosol that maybe smells like apple pie, but then you're cooking the dinner there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And now you have this heavy apple pie smell, and the dinner you've cooked, let's say you're cooking shredded chicken. Well, these don't meet in the middle.
No. But the difference is, I took a class in college, and it was about the senses, about how powerful, it was part of one of the physiology classes. And I'm very cognizant of it because I was born cross-eyed, so severely cross-eyed back in the Dark Ages that there were times you couldn't even see the iris, the dark part of my eye. It crossed in. And I would crawl into a chair because I didn't see it. So my other senses took over, and my hearing is extremely acute. And your other senses take over. And the example is, we live in San Antonio, and my husband, retired plumbing, heating, air conditioning, and a general contractor, and he built our home. And at night, I kept saying, David, I hear something. And David has a little bit of a hearing problem, even as a young boy. He blew one of his eardrums or something when he was, I think he was scuba diving when he shouldn't have been. But anyway, he said, I don't hear anything. I said, David, I'm telling you, it sounds like water. Ponce said, I built the house. There are no pipes overhead. I was like, okay. And I could just hear this. It sounded like a drip. Well, we have a wine shay, not a cellar. A cellar is underground. A wine shay is storage above ground, because we're really right over the Edwards Aquifer, this house is, and it's all rock and shale. And David came to me and said, do you really want a wine cellar? And I said, well, yeah. He said, it's going to cost this much more. I'm like, what? He said, we're over the Edwards Aquifer. We are on solid rock. He said, if you want one, we're going to have to blast it with dynamite. And I'm like, no, that's okay. So our wine cellar is next to the bedroom, the head, where the head of the bed is. And David's like, I built the house. There are no pipes overhead. I'm like, okay. And I went in there. Now, remember, my hearing is acute. And I looked around. Nothing was wet. I looked in the ceiling. Okay. We don't have any pipes overhead, but I thought, well, maybe an air duct or something. And I started, and I'm like, I know I heard something. Carpet's not wet. And I started looking at the shelves. You know, they're like a diamond shape. And I looked in, and I saw sawdust. And I was like, what? And I looked at two or three of them, carpenter ants. Carpenter ants will eat through wood. They'll chew it and then excrete it, or sometimes they'll just chew it and they'll take their front, God, what do they have? Legs, feet, arms? What do ants have?
I think they have legs. I'm going to say legs.
Okay. And then they'll scoot it back. And then chew some more, or dig some more. And it was in the wine cellar. And so we had to have the exterminator come out, which, because you can't just kill them where you see them. They may be a foot in. And so it taught me a great lesson about knowing the home that you're in, knowing the apartment that you live in, or maybe, you know, something, whether you own a condo, is learn about it and how it's built, how it's structured, so that if something happens like that, you can kind of figure it out, hopefully. And the process of elimination, you can say, okay, we don't have any pipes overhead, so it's not water. You know, we're solid here on the ground, but I keep hearing this. And you just, or termites. Termites are insidious. You know, they're going to rule the world once we're all gone.
Oh, they'll be the last thing.
Yes, they will.
They'll be the last thing. You know, what this is making me think of, you know, we had a stray question come in a while ago, and I think in all these programs, I don't think we've ever answered this, and I think it's a very interesting question. You know, a lot of people still do not like to use dishwashers. They like to wash their own dishes.
Yes.
And somebody brought up to me, I think they were making Sloppy Joe. So they made the Sloppy Joe in the big pan, you know, with the 3 pounds of ground beef. And, you know, it was all eaten, but, of course, there's a lot of grease involved with this. So when they put the pan in the sink to wash it, you know, even to, you can get it clean with dish soap and things like that, but your towel gets all greased up, and the grease gets all in the sink. What is the best? How do you get past that?
It's what I call think before you act. Think about the problem. Okay, we're making sloppy joes. We've got a big pan. There's going to be a lot of grease and the sauce and the whole thing. Then you think, okay, I don't want to pour it down the sink, even if I have a garbage disposal, because even if you have a garbage disposal and run lots of hot water, once it goes through the system, it's going to stick somewhere. And it may be only a little bit this time, but the next time and the next time and the next, it builds up like plaque in your arteries. So say, okay, well, this time it's better to use a paper towel or a cheap napkin, a paper napkin, to wipe that out and then throw that away, as opposed to the potential of having it clog up the plumbing system.
That's a good tip.
And it takes you less to wash it, too.
Well, you know, when you brought up garbage disposals there, now this is a big problem for a lot of people.
Oh, yes.
And I have this problem right now. Now, here are the symptoms of what I'm having. I know the garbage disposal has worked. Now, there is a mechanism on this garbage disposal under the sink that if you turn it on, if you switch it on, and the garbage disposal is not working for some reason, it will kick that out.
If I know what you're talking about. It's usually a red button.
Red button.
And it's called a reset button.
Right, and I think it's so the garbage disposal doesn't overheat or something.
I'm not sure.
But the problem is that I know it's still getting electricity. I know it's still working because right. When I hit the reset button, it'll come on.
You can hear the motor, but it's not turning.
No, and when I flip the switch,
yeah.
It'll run for a minute, and then it'll pop that button back
yeah.
out. And it's so I don't know if it's plugged. Is there any way to unplug these things without calling the people over?
What? I'm so glad you asked that. My mother, the original Heloise, when she died in 1977, I had been working with her for several years, and I got to see how she researched questions or problems. I grew up in a Heloise household, and I'd come home from school, and she'd be on the phone with our plumber, or the electrician, or somebody at the water thing. Water company. And one of the things was with the disposals. So if your disposal doesn't work, say you turn it on and you may hear a little humming, like the motor may be going, but it's not turning that blade. So that means either something's wrong with the actual mechanics part of it, or there may be something stuck in there. A lot of people put bones down there, and I called two or three different manufacturers, and if they're small, like a little chicken bone or a little thin something bone, the disposer should be able to take care of that. But if you put something big and very hard in there, the disposer cannot break that up, and it will stick in there and actually stop the blades from turning. So what you want to do is, one, press the button underneath. If you can still hear it turning, stop. And then you need to get something very sturdy. You want to be sure and turn the electricity off. And the blades go from left to right, all right? So if you take your finger and draw a circle to right, that's how the blades run. But if they're stuck, you want to do it the reverse way, from right to left, for a second or two, and it may just be enough to unstick what is in there. And then the second thing is, it's very important to always run enough water so that whatever you have scraped in the sink, whatever you put down the disposal, can be flushed all the way through the plumbing system. Now, I learned this the hard way from my husband. when we were first married a couple of years, and it got stuck. Excuse me. And I was like, oh God, if I go to him, he's gonna lecture me. And I thought, okay, who better? And I said, David. He said, you know, I said, no, I did. He said, how long did you run the water? And I said, well, I don't know. I turned it on, scraped the plate, run the spousal, turned it off. He said, let me show you where that goes. And I'm like, okay. He built our house. So we walk. He's in front of me. I'm behind me. We walk out of the kitchen, take a right, walk about 10, 15, 20 steps through the den, take another right, walk about 20, 30 steps, take another right, and walk about 40 steps outside. Then he stepped off of the patio and walked out halfway into the yard. He said, this is where it goes. And I went, oh, well, I didn't know that.
Well, now this is interesting. Now this is I know people are having this problem. So, you do the reset button, make
right.
sure the electric's off.
Right.
Stick something in the sink.
Something that, you know, be sure that it can't be turned on, but you want something sturdy like the back end of a wooden broom. The handle part.
Oh, now see, those blades are that big down in there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you jam that in, mm-hmm. and then you go counterclockwise.
Counterclockwise to unstick what that is, if it'll work, which it usually does.
Now, what? Because here's what I'm thinking. Because I'm having this problem, so I'm going to try this tonight. I can't imagine there are bones down there. I'm trying to think of anything that would even be hard that would be causing it to stick. Now, I'm not saying there's not. There
right.
could be. But I can't think of anything like that. Now, but I do know that, you know, I have had the Sloppy Joe issue. I have had the hamburger issue. Now, there could be grease in there.
Right.
Now, is that a possibility that it's sticking?
Yeah, I can't. Because depending, you know, on that grease, if you've ever let the pan sit on the stove, you know, you turn everything off, you go eat, you know, we'll wash dishes in an hour or something, and you come back, you take a look at that grease, and it's solidified. It's not liquid anymore. So if when it's liquid, you scrape it off down the sink, and oh, yeah, you run a lot of water. Well, as soon as that grease or that oil turns from warm and it solidifies, it splashes up on the plumbing on that pipe. It's like plaque in your arteries. Over time, it builds up and builds up and builds up. So that's why it's really, really important. It's preferable not to pour liquid grease, oil, that kind of thing down the sink. It's really preferable not to do that. If you can take, I use our dog food. We feed our dog. She gets 1.5 cans a day. And the second half can, she's on a diet. No, she's not really. But that's all she's, and then we give her dry kibble. You know, that's good for their teeth. Even if you feed your dog canned food all the time, you should give them a little dry kibble because it helps break the tartar off of their teeth. And so I'll take one of those cans and then scrape all the stuff into it. And then you look at it an hour later when it's been sitting out, it looks like fat. It's solid. It's kind of, you're thinking, yeah, I don't think I want to put that down the sink. Not a good idea.
You know, this kind of all ties together. We're talking about plumbing with...
I was going to say, what such lovely morning discussion.
Well, I'll tell you, but I'll tell you, if you're home right now and
yes.
you're having one of these problems,
yes.
this is a helpful show for you.
It is.
And the other one would be, and I'm sure this has been a common question over the years, what if your commode is backed up? Now, do you always have to call a plumber because this is a problem. Yeah, we've all had the problems where you flush the thing and it does go through, and then you flush it again and it doesn't. Now you can plunge it, but it never seems to totally clear up the problem.
Speaking as a the wife of someone who again taught me, you know, he said, "Where do you think all this goes?" I said, "I don't know. I flush it; it goes away. it doesn't go away." I'm like, and again, let me show you. Walk through the house, and we're on septic system. We have three, and because our house is very long, I have my office at one end. We have three guest bedrooms. One I use as a small office and that kind of thing, and then where we live. And so we have three different systems. And only when, I remember one or two times, we had a house full of guests. We had a bunch of, it was quite interesting. There was a North America ballooning event here in San Antonio. It was really spectacular. It was just phenomenal. And so we had friends from Canada, some who were from Australia. I mean, we had about 30 people in this house. And I said, "David, you talk to the guys. I'll talk to the women." And yes, we have seven bathrooms or seven toilets. And my husband always joked, "I want one for every day of the week." Well, we had a house full of people. That's a lot of toilet use. And he explained to them, you know, if it doesn't seem to go down, wait. Let the toilet tank fill up with water. Don't keep trying to flush it, boom, 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 because that's not enough force to push what may be clogging it through. Let it fill up, flush it. Then if it's still kind of stopping up, then you need to do something else. And I'll tell you one funny one. I never thought there could be something funny about the toilet, but he had a customer that, and they had, his father had owned the business and David took over. And so they had him for like 30-year customer. And they kept having a problem with this one commode that kept, it would go slow or it would flush. And then the third or fourth time, it would not. And David, you know, they'd call him over, and like me, my mother, you know, the original Heloise, is the one who taught me, anytime you have a service person come to your home or your condo or something, and they're doing something, watch what they do so you'll understand. You may be able to fix it the next time. And David said he had this woman who they knew, and she was very sweet, and but her commode will only stop up like every 3 or 4 months. And it turned out she would be taking care of or babysitting her grandson. Every so often, the parents would go someplace. And the kid was, as most toddlers are, just fascinated with the toilet. You hit this handle, and the water all goes away. You wait a minute, and the water comes back. Hey, that's pretty cool. Well, he had flushed, God knows why, the plastic lid that goes on a can of Crisco or lard or cooking oil, that goes on a tub of margarine. He had flushed that down the commode, and it had, like, kind of tacoed. It had gone, and it, like, halfway went down. He flushed it again, and the water flowed, and everything was great. Well, then it became untacoed or unstuck and went flat. So when the water would hit it, it would kind of be at a 15-degree angle. You know, it'd be flat, and the water would flow through. But when the water stopped flowing, it would go upright, and it would stop the commode.
That's a problem.
That is a problem. And that's why, you know, if you're having a problem consistently in that regard, it's preventive is much better. And cheaper than curative.
That's, you know, I the same thing I think applies, because I know a lot of people who get cracks in the floor of their shower.
Yes.
And, you know, I have seen people try to repair this several different ways. And I don't know if there is a most effective way without having somebody come out. Is there something, because really you're just, it's a hole that water is going to go through and end up on the floor.
Well, it depends on the shower. Generally they have, if they're built correctly, the floor that you're standing on or looking at is not directly on to the slab. I believe it's called a shower pan liner. There's a piece of, I don't know whether it's metal or aluminum, but there's a piece that goes in first, and then there's the hole for where the water goes out, and then that gets sealed so that when you shower, all the water goes down that drain and then out through the piping. So unless something has possibly cracked or become unsealed, the water, or again where we live, we have cedar trees, mountain cedar, mountain juniper actually, and they have very, very long, help me with the word, the roots will go out. These are mountain cedar, juniper. And they're used to being in a climate like this. They're all over San Antonio and West Texas. But their roots will go down, and then if they can't get water, the roots will then turn and go out seeking water or moisture. So, and those are the kind of roots that would, and actually, I think he had one where they got down to it, and the roots were literally sticking out. You could see where it had cracked the PVC pipe over time. So it's really important, you know, you want to be sure and flush those and be sure that all that gunk, particularly from a kitchen sink, doesn't build up. Because then you're talking, you know, I had never seen that. I had never seen that. And I finally went, oh, now I understand. That's why you don't just put a bunch of stuff down the garbage disposal, flip it on and flip it off. He goes, exactly.
You know, is there any, we've talked a lot about grease and the harm that it can do.
Yeah.
Is there anything that dissolves it better than dish soap?
You know, there is, there's an enzyme, and it'll come to me. There's an enzyme that, it's like Pac-Man. You know, Pac-Man's a little thing, it goes, mum, 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 eats it. There's an enzyme that, I don't know whether it actually eats it or it breaks the molecule, the soap, if you will, into parts, and it can then get through the system. So I am really not sure if there's anything that you can buy. Well, you know, I think there are some. There are some that you can buy at the home improvement store, at a hardware store. I'm pretty sure that if you've got a crack down the line and you're not inclined to dig up, you know, 40 yards of stuff, I think there is something that you can put in there that goes through and supposedly kills the roots that are down into the actual plumbing part.
Well, because, you know, not only does the grease get into the plumbing, but
yeah,
you'll have the residue in the sink. And you try to wipe that up, and
yeah,
then it's all over the towel. And then you try to throw the towel in the clothes hamper, and then it's going to touch other clothes.
No, Scott, no.
Oh, I know. See, I've already made a mistake, haven't I?
No. Anything that's grease, that's oil, think about it first. I always say, you know, stop and think, then take action. Okay, do I really want this dish towel that I use every day to dry my hands or dry my dishes or something or other filled with grease? You really don't. So if you can use things that are paper towels, if you've got a lot of grease that you're scooping up or wiping up, you know, paper towels are great. Newspapers, they're very absorbent. They'll pick up the grease. Then you go back and clean the area. But particularly for anyone, and I know probably up there that I would guess to say I bet at least half, if not more, of your listeners, their plumbing system is on it. If they live in a home, now not if they're in an apartment building, you know, or high rise or something, but if they're in a home, I would say more than half of them that their plumbing system is on a septic type system.
That's it. You know, Heloise, this has been a fascinating show today because I think we've put plumbers out of business.
Well, I would say absolutely no, you're not going to.
No, no. We didn't go that far, but we took, you know, hopefully, I can't wait to report back on if my disposal will work now once I jam the broom handle down
now,
there.
Now, remember, you're going to want to go counterclockwise.
Now, that's also, if I also remember right, because this is something that has stuck with me that you said to me years ago, when you're getting a stain out of the carpet,
yes,
you always rub counterclockwise.
And you work from the outside in.
Yes. Because
outside in.
That has stuck with me.
Work from the inside out, you're only going to spread the stain.
And it works.
You're very smart.
Oh, well, I hang around with smart people. Heloise, we will talk again in, it'll almost be spring when we talk again.
I think we'll have some great spring hints to share, and I hope you all go out and make it a lovely day. Do something good for you, something good for Mother Earth, and do something nice for someone else.
Thank you, Heloise.
Take care.
Bye-bye. The legendary Heloise. Now, if that wasn't a helpful show or an educational show, there is no such thing. And more coming up here on this station from 10 to 12 and 12 to 1 today. For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
The discussion yesterday certainly was on the division feeling here at the Republican National Convention. And if the boos you heard on television was something last night, you should have heard the boos in this arena.
No kidding.
To Republican candidate for president, Donald Trump.
We phones Donald Trump. Donald, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing very well. What a busy week for you.